This is where they are building the largest nuclear fusion reactor in the world.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me I had to check out this pool.
America on Main Street and at the dinner table is talking about infrastructure when 20 years ago, they didn't even know what that meant.
Today, those towers are an astounding display of wealth, prestige, and engineering firsts.
It's impacting everyday Americans.
I am against the train. The way it's being done right now.
New York City housing is a scam. It is a scam.
The Shard in central London is being officially opened today, and at 310 metres tall, it's Europe's newest and tallest skyscraper.
Hello, I'm Fred Mills.
And this is the world's best construction podcast
by the B1M.
Hello, and welcome to your latest episode of the world's best construction podcast. I'm your new host, Liam, and today I'm just joined by Luke, because Fred Mills is off in Malaysia on holiday. So it's just the two of us today, mate. It feels like I haven't seen you for months.
Well, it's been a little while, mate. Obviously, I was in the US this month for 2 weeks. That was great.
Nice.
We're actually over there for like a work thing with what my missus and I do in Miami. And Miami's a cool city, mate.
Nice, yeah. I'd like to go there.
I think you would really like Miami. It's a real, like, party city. The buildings are pretty cool. But we actually went a week early. And my missus and I, we love, like, theme parks. You know, we love rides. So we stayed at Disney, did a few of the Disney parks, did a few rides, a few new rides. It was, honestly, it was amazing. And then I got the train down to Miami, the Brightline train. So it was like the perfect B1M trip, to be honest, mate. I feel
amazing,
like Fred.
Mate. Were you doing something to do with Star Wars there? I saw something on Instagram. You saw some mothership or whatever it's called.
Oh, mothership. Oh, come on. You know it's not called that.
The evil star or something, isn't it? the Death Star, that's it.
No. Millennium Falcon, mate. Yes.
Oh, mate,
They got an expansion, yeah, where it's just Star Wars stuff and it's immersive. It's so impressive, mate. And I think unless you've been there, like, you don't get it. The customer service, the immersion. I'm not just the Star Wars stuff, just everything. There's nothing like it. Like, I love a theme park, but once you go to a Disney park, you're like, oh no, everything else is lame. It just doesn't match up. Yeah, it just doesn't match up.
I'm not the biggest theme park guy. I'm not a big roller coaster guy. I'm actually
really.
I'm scared of the engineering behind it. I don't know if these guys actually are qualified to maintain these tracks. But whenever I chat to someone that's been to like Disneyland and things, they always talk about the queues. Like, did you queue up or did you get like a jumping queue ticket?
You are outing me now. Right. Okay. So I'm pretty open about this. You know, I've got Crohn's disease, yeah? I've got Crohn's. Yeah. So I qualify for Disney's disability access service. So that means I get lightning lanes on every ride.
What?
Just especially in America, right? Now, I don't take it lightly, especially in America, just in case I eat something and I'm like, oh, that didn't agree with me. Let's say I need to find a restroom. I'm stuck in a queue that's like 2 hours long. Like,
wow.
You know, I'm going to lose my space, aren't I? It's just not worth the fuss.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's another reason why I like it. Because I've just smashed through all of like the best rides to go on that are like brand new of 3 hour waits. None of that, mate.
That's pretty good. I mean, I don't know if anyone tuning in today would have been thinking that the intro would include talking about your bowel movements, but that's fantastic.
Well, there's swings and roundabouts, mate, you know? I've had some procedures at hospital, but then I get to skip the line at Disney, you know?
It's pretty worth it. Yeah, you're going to take it, absolutely.
Yeah. I bet the listeners are loving this. Anyway, it's kind of infrastructure related. We did a video on Galaxy's Edge at Disney World years ago. Do you remember that?
We did, mate. Yeah, we did.
There we go. I'm looking forward to this week, though, mate. Without Fred, I wonder how we'll do. Do you think we'll do all right?
Yeah, I think we'll do fine, mate. I think we'll do fine.
Yeah.
Might go a little off topic.
But, yeah. You know. No reservoir.
It's going to happen.
Yeah. No reservoirs. Yeah.
Exactly, mate. Exactly. All right. So moving on, we have a very exciting episode for you guys today. We're actually talking about an $8 billion high-speed rail project, which is crossing three countries. So this video came out on the B1M yesterday. It's very cool. So if you haven't seen it, check it out once you're done listening to the podcast. Then in the news this week, we're going to be talking about Shenzhen's latest super tall skyscraper, which is topping out. And then we'll be heading over to Sydney, where I'm actually dialing in for recording from, where we're looking at the new $2 billion tech campus. As always, we'll be reading out some of your comments and emails from the week. So let's do it. Let's get stuck in. Let's go. I always wanted to say that.
He did it.
So first up this week, guys, we're talking about an $8 billion railway project crossing three countries. As I said before, it's a video that came out on the B1M yesterday. Now, this is all about the Baltic states of Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, which make up a huge chunk of the North Sea Baltic corridor on the Trans-European Transport Network. But the rail infrastructure of these nations is a bit behind their Western neighbors, and it dates back to before the early 1990s, which was when the Soviet Union collapsed, and which they were all three of them were once part of. Now, that left behind a series of railways that mostly ran east to west rather than north to south, meaning that the three countries aren't very well connected. And on top of that, they were built to a different standard and gauge to the rest of Europe, which isn't helpful when you're trying to join up the whole continent. So that's a bit like if England, Wales, and Scotland built different train networks and then tried to connect them all together. You'd have to overhaul them all and create something that actually connects all three of the countries. So it's a huge task that they're undertaking over there.
Yeah, it's massive.
Yeah. What did you think of this week's video, mate?
Yeah, it was decent, mate. It was really decent. I think this is a part of the world that gets overlooked a little bit, to be honest. I used to work with a load of people from Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. And obviously, you know, you mentioned the Soviet Union, the west to east thing, you know, indicative of the Moscow soft power back then, obviously, because of the USSR, because of the Soviet Union. And moving away from that shouldn't be underestimated. You know, just building something from scratch. We know how hard that is. Trying to do that with HS2, right? And that's kind of arguably not gone as far as it can, or it may be even a failure in certain eyes, right? But this, to do it across three countries as well. And we interviewed someone in the video, you know, and they're saying, oh, we're like brothers. Well, more like cousins, you know, because we don't always see eye to eye culturally. We don't always speak the same language. It can't be easy, mate. It can't be easy to build.
Yeah, definitely not. One thing I didn't realize is they speak different languages in all three states.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, this is exactly what you're saying. You don't really hear a lot about these areas. I think I've worked somewhere from Latvia when I was living in London. But yeah, it's that part of Europe for me is I'm not very well educated on it. To discover that they didn't speak the same language kind of blew me away a bit.
What, you've not been there in your European travels when you were?
No, I've skipped that.
I was like a week away from going to Tallinn in Estonia, because Estonia is a lot like Finland, right? The language is really similar. They're kind of considered like an honorary Nordic country in a lot of ways, right? And I love the Nordics. I love Scandinavia. And a group of my friends were going, but my car caught fire like the week before. And there was too much stuff going on. I was freaking out, so I kind of cancelled my trip, which I regret doing now, like, because I wish I'd gone. And apparently my brother said Tallinn was a really, really cool city. Culturally these places are so different, right? They're similar but so different. Once again, like you said, maybe in the UK, Australia, maybe you're in the US, you take that for granted a little bit. You take for granted how different Europe is in general.
Yeah,
right? In
absolutely.
A small space.
Yeah, know, absolutely. And yeah, countries that aren't sizably big, right, on like landmass and the completely different cultures. I think a lot of the churches in those sort of Baltic areas I'm most interested in architecturally wise, like the Riga Cathedral or the St. Peter's Church. You know, it's that Gothic style architecture, yeah. which I'm fascinated with, which I absolutely love.
Mate, some of the architecture up there is just like, it's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. So to fix all this, they're building Rail Baltica, right? So it's the largest infrastructure project in the region for 100 years. So it's absolutely massive for the area. It's an 870-kilometer high-speed railway from Tallinn in Estonia, running down to Lithuania, the Polish border, and eventually the rest of the European network. Both high-speed passenger trains, so they'll be capable of 249 kilometers per hour. Don't know why it's not 250 and just rounding it off, but it's 249 kilometers per hour. And freight trains running at 120 kilometers per hour will use the line. It's going to be completely electrified, so completely electric trains. This will help lower the CO2 emissions and reduce air pollution by more than 18% compared to other forms of transport. Now, construction work started in 2023. The official cost estimate, because I know we always like to talk about cost on the B1M and how much things are and how much they go over budget, was around $6 billion with a 2030 completion date. Now it's risen to $8 billion. Just another project though, another project finishing in 2030. There must be dozens that we've spoken about on this podcast.
It's ridiculous. Why 2030? Is it because it's a nice, tidy, round number? They're just like, yeah, 2030. It's like the Saudi thing, isn't it? Like Vision 2030. By the way, last week, your episode was brilliant. You guys did a really, really good job with that. Can you believe, like, the line,
mate,
they've gone,
hate to say Fred was right. It pains me. It irks me to say that. He was adamant. I wanted it to happen. I just thought it'd be very interesting if they could pull it off. But yeah, what's the scale from 179 kilometers, 180, can't remember the exact numbers, to 2 kilometers by 2030?
It's such a step back. I don't think it looks good, you know, just scaling something back just that much, you know, just so quickly. Like, it's not been long, is it? Like, in the grand scheme of things, it's not been long that we've found out about this project, been talking about this project, is it?
Mate. And if you look at the amount of marketing and exposure they did for the campaign, like globally through media, out of home billboards, internet, YouTube videos, everything, display advertising, pieces of content with prominent, print publications. That was 6 months ago. I'm pretty sure that was even in December they were pushing it. So they would have known. My suspicion, they would have known it's going to get scaled back, pushing it either for investment or just promoting the area. And then, yeah. I mean, I hope they still do it. Get the 2Ks at least.
No, just because it looks cool. Just because it looks like something like Blade Runner. Why not? You know, but seriously, like the 2030 thing, it's it's just such a token number, like, because it looks good. And that's the thing with, you know, I think it's a good thing to use Saudi as an example, because they said, oh, we got this like Vision 2030 thing. Yeah, because it sounds good. That's it. You've not thought about it. You've not gone, well, what if this project is going to last, you know, 15 years? What if this project is going to last 12 years? Yeah, I think this might be just a coincidence, but it winds me up anyway. You know, a lot of stupid stuff wind me up, so, you know.
Yes, mate. So just one last thing, just on the Rail Baltica. So up to 85% of the money is coming from the EU, with the rest financed by the three Baltic states. So each state is only paying 5%, which is decent. I mean, if you're one of those Baltic states, it's decent, right? Like,
I'm just saying, that's a good deal. You know, whoever struck this deal, mate. It's a very, very, very good deal. I mean, it's in the interest of the European Union, isn't it? You know, to connect up those states, it'll probably be good for. Do you think you'll be able to, like, commute from any of these places? Do you think you'll be able to, like, commute from Lithuania to, like, you know, somewhere in Poland? Or do you think that'll be out of the realm of possibility? Because, you know, that does happen sometimes, doesn't it? Like, people living in London commute to Paris for work occasionally.
Yeah, I don't see why not, because living would be cheaper, right, in the Baltic states. So if you're going to go down to Poland, Germany, Belgium, because I know it runs all the way down to Antwerp, I believe. So yeah, I mean, absolutely. It opens up like it's for trade, travel. So it opens up all of that.
Yeah,
it'll open up, you know, economies in smaller towns, the smaller cities, things like that. It'll pump new money into it. I think it's fantastic. I mean, the citizens are probably, the population is probably very stoked that this is happening.
I would imagine so. It's a good deal, mate. It is a good deal. And then there is the elephant in the room, yeah. There is the elephant in the room that obviously this I mean, helps from a certain point of view, right? With the Russian sphere of influence, right? Like, a lot of the trains, obviously, west to east, went to Moscow. These countries are on the border with Russia. A lot of them are NATO members. They're arming, you know, rearming, like Poland, like a lot of European countries, right? And I think this is probably infrastructure, rail being used, again, as influence from the European Union, from the West, Western Europe, you know, to solidify those Baltic states with Poland, Germany, France, etc. Because they're aligned with this part of Europe now, not the Russian side of Europe. Do you know what I'm trying to say? You know,
It's sort of like bringing them into the group, into the family a little bit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's when you talk about the EU, I don't really talk about those countries kind of thing. I, to be honest, thought I knew a lot about Europe, but I actually either didn't know or I forgot that they were part of the EU.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you really?
I completely forgot. And when we were talking about it in the video, I was like, oh, that's right. Yeah, they are up there.
Yeah.
Just because not really in the news, not really, you know. You kind of, you know, the typicals, you know, Greece, Italy, obviously, like tourist destinations, Spain, Germany, Poland, France, all the usual ones. I don't know. I don't know. It's just kind of like sort of what you said at the start. It's like a little forgotten pocket of
I think
Europe.
Yeah, I think unless you live in Europe, it is easy to forget about that. And I think, you know, if you're listening from those countries, I mean that in the most, you know, respectful way, because these places have huge, not only do they have, for their size, huge influence anyway, but they have massive potential. You know, like Tallinn is a tech capital, right? A lot of tech companies are based out in Tallinn. The potential is brilliant. It's huge. And if we can connect up those countries with the rest of Europe, I'm talking as if, like, I live in the European Union. Do you know what I mean? I don't, you know, anymore, for better or for worse, whatever you think. I think it's a smart idea, mate. And it's a simple thing. We've been building rail since the 1800s. Yeah, whether it's in the US and the UK, France, you know, around the world. And it's still such an efficient way. It's still such a good way to connect up people and to connect up cultures. And a lot of power comes with it.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is my opinion. I think this is what Australia needs on the East Coast, a proper high-speed rail train where you can go, say, if you're in Sydney, you can go to Brisbane. You can go up further than that, or you can go from here. You can go to Canberra, to Melbourne, and then across to Adelaide, and then maybe one day, I don't know if you do it, it's probably better, quicker flying, to be honest, over to Perth. But something like that, just connecting all the eastern states, high-speed rail. I mean, I know this project needs high-speed trains just in general, need a track that's as straight and as flat as possible. So obviously making it with the Rail Baltica project is extremely hard, and it is like that anywhere.
I
mean,
Have you got rail that go between cities in Australia? Surely you do, right? Like national rail.
Yeah, I think there's a train that goes from Sydney to Brisbane.
Mm.
To be honest, I actually don't know too much about it. Yeah, you can get a train from Sydney to Brisbane. It's not high-speed rail, though.
See, getting the Brightline, you mentioned about flying, mate. Yeah. I was in Orlando going down to Miami, right? So week one was Orlando, week two was Miami, yeah? And instead of flying, and we flew in 2022, we did a similar trip in 2022 and we flew. And flying is really quick. It's like a half an hour flight. It doesn't take long, which I feel really bad about because of the emissions. For short flights like that, I don't like going to the airport, you know, queuing up. You don't know if your flight's going to be pushed back or delayed or cancelled in some cases. It's just so messy, so much effort. By the time you've got to the airport, by the time you've got to the airport on the other side and gone to your accommodation, comparing that to getting the new Brightline, which is a privately funded rail in Florida that we've talked about before on this show, from Orlando to Miami, mate, what a joy. What an absolute delight that was. Just turning up at the station, yeah? And like anywhere, hop on your train. Someone comes along with sandwiches and drinks, little carts and that. You can whip out the laptop. It's just there's loads of space. It's comfortable. And you're getting a good view. You're going along the coast. I was near, at one point, we were near Donald Trump's house. And apparently, and loads of people were like, oh, Donald Trump just lives over there. And people are trying to take photos.
Oh, wow. Like,
what? And I don't know, just arriving in Miami, it just felt like, wow, that was so easy. So even though on paper, okay, it takes a little longer, the stress is way less than flying. I mean, I love trains anyway. So do you think you'll ride this, mate? Do you think you'll bring the family over, go visit Estonia? And
I mean, probably not, mate. If I was younger, I would. Just being completely honest.
Yeah.
So I'll just run you through where it's going. So it starts in Tallinn. I think they might actually be, you'd be able to go up to Helsinki from there as well. It's just across the channel, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be go from Tallinn in Estonia. It'd link through Warsaw and Poland, and it'd consist of links via Riga, Latvia, Kaunas, and Vilnius in Lithuania.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And then and then once you're in Warsaw, you can connect to Europe, right? You go through to Holland, Belgium, France, everywhere basically. So it's essentially just connecting everything. It's like you said, it's great. It's really good to see them doing this. And I'm just looking online, and it's the European Union has made this a priority project. Which I think ties back to what you were saying earlier.
I'm not surprised, mate. I'm not surprised. I am not. And that's the thing with you know, the war that's going on. It has driven infrastructure and production in that part of Europe, which I think is sort of, that's the opposite to what certain individuals in Russia want. You know, it's counterintuitive, really, the whole thing. But like you said, the people in Estonia, Lithuania, Latvia, they're going to be benefiting from this, obviously, but also Poland, Germany. Imagine if you were in Poland and you're like, oh, I fancy trying to go see the Northern Lights. Let's get the train up there. Because in Estonia, they can see the Northern Lights. They have like proper winters, like a lot of Scandinavia and that part of the world. So I know it's not Scandinavia, I said it's, you know, Nordic, but yeah. Really good, mate. Really good. Really good video. Some cool footage, cool cities. Yeah, I think I'm going to try and go to Tallinn.
Yeah. Let me know how it is.
Yeah, I will, mate.
Also in the news this week, we're headed over to Shenzhen, where the super tall China Merchants Bank headquarter skyscraper, bit of a mouthful, has officially topped out. Now, it's designed by, you guessed it, another Fosters and Partners project in China. I feel like every project we talk about there is designed by Fosters. Do you get that vibe? I just feel like it's all Fosters and Partners in China.
Mate, yeah, Fosters, KPF as well. They get a lot of jobs in China, right? But yeah, there are a lot. This, admittedly, this does look like a Foster's, you know? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. So the building's glass and stainless steel northern facade is inspired by rock formations. I don't know if you're getting that, mate. While the southern facade takes its cues from the geometries of traditional paper folding, a revered part of Chinese culture. Getting that? I get kind of alligator. Sorry, not alligator, like snake skin. Like the
yeah, alligator works as well, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a bunch of marketing spiel, yeah. Like, and it winds me up when companies do this, when, you know, I think there's nothing wrong with taking inspiration from something, but it doesn't really look like that. It looks like a lot of other Foster partner buildings that have been constructed, right? From the Gherkin to, name escapes me, but there's a building with really similar cladding to this in New York City. A Hearst Tower, maybe? I'll have to double check. Yeah, it's quite an interesting tower, mate. It's quite interesting. The cladding is a bit funky. It is a bit groovy. It doesn't set the world on fire, you know. It's all right, I'd say.
Give it a thumbs up.
I'd give it. You know, a 70%.
70%. You know,
70%. I think it's lacking a certain magic. It feels like. I hate to say this, mate, but it feels like with some of the more recent, and I'm a massive Foster and Partners fan, but more recently, it does feel like they just, I don't know, you know, produce this stuff, like mass produce these renders and these designs. It just doesn't feel like there's been a personal touch put on this. I could be completely wrong. Listeners, let us know if you disagree or if you think I'm out of line saying that. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm just grumpy, but
yeah, definitely. I mean, email us podcast@thebrnm.com and let us know. I feel the same way, mate. I am going to read out the marketing spiel that we've got in the Instagram comment. I found this quite funny. So Foster's and Partners have stated that the new tower is a unique addition to Shenzhen's urban fabric and will be an enduring symbol of China Merchants Bank. The building's wide curved windows offer spectacular views of Shenzhen Bay. Cut to reflect the light, they glisten in the sun and reflect movement in the sky above them. I don't know how that works. We want to capture the warmth of sunrise and sunset on the building surface so that the appearance of the tower is constantly changing and never appears the same way twice. Like, come on. You know? What is that?
I know. It's not that deep, mate. It's not deep.
It's not.
It's pretentious. It was
an amazing building that you look at it, you're like, wow, all right, that just embodies everything they've said, but it doesn't. I don't think. I think they're too busy in Saudi Arabia, you know, working on projects like the Macabre and, you know, Virginia.
Yeah. I don't know, mate. I don't know. I agree. I think there's a massive disconnect between architects, architecture firms, and people. Yeah, architecture should be for people. Don't get it twisted. This is a massive skyscraper, a massive office block, and that's it. That's it. It might have a bit of mixed-use development, might have some cool shops, might look cool even. In fact, it does look pretty cool. But stuff like this, mate, it winds me up. It makes me not want to like the building, you know? And I know this is just, it's just part and parcel of the industry and, you know, every design has stuff like this, you know. So maybe I'm being a bit unfair, maybe I'm being a bit harsh to it, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think it has enough personality to boast a description like that.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'm on the same page.
Yeah, there we go.
Now heading over to my current city, we're heading over to Sydney. There is a new $2 billion tech campus coming. Now, it's rising next to the site of the new Atlassian HQ in the city's tech district. The 37-story Central Place Sydney is said to be powered by 100% renewable energy, which is very interesting. Now, Sydney's wider tech central precinct is projected to create 25,000 jobs by 2036, and I think this is going to be a part of it. What do you think of this one, mate?
I mean, the fact that it's going to be powered, you know, like that is really impressive. The towers, the architecture is decent. I like the one, the building on the second slide on the far left with kind of like the cross bracing. Looks pretty cool. Looks pretty cool. I'd say the architecture's it's okay. Middle of the road. I'd say the project as a whole, though, is more impressive. Yeah, it feels cohesive. Feels like a nice addition to Sydney or that part of Sydney. I don't know Sydney. I've never been there, mate. This is by a train station, yeah?
Yes, mate. It's so it's built next to Sydney Central Station. So at the moment, I think it's a bit of a nothing area, if you know what I mean. It's a big transport hub spot, obviously, but it's not that much going down there. And I think if you look at the render on the fourth slide, you can see the city skyscrapers are pushed all towards the other side, which is the Opera House, the Harbour Bridge. Obviously, amazing views if you've got, you know, if you're Salesforce and you've got the tower right there looking over both, you know, it's probably one of the most iconic views in the world. Mm-hmm. So I think obviously it's bringing up, it's redeveloping that area next to Central Station, which I think is great for the area. I think it'll be a great addition to the city. The architecture, I think it's just, it goes along with the rest of Sydney's architecture. In my opinion, it's pretty non-eventful. It's pretty
bit
bland,
a bit dull.
You know? Yeah, it's just
it's a bit dull, but it serves a purpose, I suppose. Right?
And I mean, I don't know how creative you can get on the design when it's supposedly 100% renewable, powered by 100% renewable energy. I don't know if that comes into effect of how you actually design it. And the materials you use, obviously it does affect the materials you use, but I don't know. I feel like that is more of a, in my opinion, that's more of a London style building. I think Sydney, you've got a hotter climate, much hotter climate. I don't know. It just doesn't fit the vibe, in my opinion.
I know what you mean. It does seem like the design is already a little bit dated as well.
Yeah.
You know, can you see on the fifth slide? Yeah. And remember, guys, we post the Instagram links to these posts in the podcast description. So if you want to follow along, if you want to see what we're talking about, just go there. Can you see your house in the background, mate? Can you see your area on the fifth slide overlooking Sydney?
No, mate. I'm a little bit to the left.
Yeah, are you to the left? I was wondering if you're to the right. Oh, you're to the left.
Nah, to the right is that's north. That's the northern beaches, northern Sydney.
I saw a meme the other day. I have no idea why it was on my Explore page on Instagram of like these lines carving up Sydney. Yeah. And it was like these diagonal lines. And you could deduce like most likely what people had as cars. For what area of Sydney they lived in.
Yeah.
And I think your area came up as anything EV, anything electric.
Maybe, mate. I mean, yeah, it could be it. Yeah, mate. Newtown, maybe. I mean, they are very, like, environmentally conscious, I suppose. Maybe. I mean, there's a lot of Teslas in Sydney. There's by far any city that I've been to, I notice it more in Sydney. Oh. Everyone's got Teslas. They're everywhere.
So I went and caught up with some friends of mine on Wednesday last week in Fort Lauderdale, right, which is just north of Miami. Really, it's a part of Miami, but it's just north of Miami. And they live in a real nice area, yeah. In fact, I've never been to their house before, but they live in a real nice area. And I saw my first Tesla Cybertruck there.
Oh, yeah.
Mate, what a car. What a thing to look at. Yeah. I'm saying this a lot this episode, but think what you will of like Tesla or like, you know, Elon, whatever. But, mate, this car, this truck, I was like, I want one. Just looking at it, I was like, oh, my days, that looks sick.
Does it?
It looks, oh, mate.
Is it massive? Is it big?
It's big. Yeah, it's big. You'll see a couple soon, I'm sure, especially in Sydney. It probably suits somewhere like Sydney more than like somewhere like London or the UK, probably.
I'd go, oh, mate, you couldn't drive that in London. All the little laneways and things, you'd be stuck.
Yeah,
I'd get one if I could. I mean, you know, what, they're like quarter of a mil or something like that.
They are outrageous.
Yeah,
outrageous. Yeah, yeah. I'm not looking to get them. Getting one anytime soon. I'm looking at like trading in my Golf and just going to like a small-ish Skoda 4x4, you know, like it, my upgrade ain't gonna be massive, mate. No, it's not gonna be big. Yeah, maybe I should come out to Sydney one day, mate. Maybe B1M should pay me to do it, you know.
Yeah, we'll do a podcast maybe. Here, mate. Podcast.
Yeah, exactly, mate. Crew here. Live show.
Swinging over to the inbox, what have you got this week, Luke?
Right, got a cheeky email from Jake Hansen Shearer. What a name, right?
Mate, I swear, these names, they email and they always sound made up.
No,
that's a great, I know that's you. A strong name, but it sounds made up. Is it praising me? Let me guess, is he saying
Luke's the best host? Where's he been?
No, he's not actually. He's not. He goes, hi guys, firstly, just want to say I love the podcast. Such a delight. Keeps me company in the best possible way. Well, that's very sweet, Jake. He goes on to say, just listen to the latest poddy on the Faroe Islands. Excellent as always. First time I've ever had something to contribute. I can confirm not every capital city has an Irish bar. So it's good to know that's what he's taken from.
Oh, right. That's what I said, right?
It is what you said.
Oh, now, mate.
Jake says, I'm Irish and I live in, and you're going to have to bear with me, mate, Lilongwe, the capital of Malawi, maybe? Lilongwe? Right. Okay. Sounds like Lilongwe away, mate. That was a Fred joke, wasn't it? So, you know,
it was, mate. Malawi.
Yeah,
East Africa.
Yeah.
Okay.
He goes, not an Irish bar in the country. First time I've ever lived somewhere without an Irish bar. Quite a shock when I realized. There are some interesting, if smaller than your scale, your usual scale, infrastructure projects happening in Malawi at the moment. They're remaking the primary road network for the entire country all at the same time. Would love to see a video on some smaller scale but incredibly impactful infrastructure projects in somewhere like Malawi in the future, etc. But he's going to leave that to us because we're the experts. He says, keep up the good work. I'll certainly keep listening and watching. All the best, Jake. What a cool message, mate. What a nice email, right?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Not an Irish bar in every city, though.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, okay. Got me there.
Yeah.
I thought there was always a place called, like, O'Malley's.
Yeah. Waxy O'Connor's, mate, in Central. Absolutely. That's what I think of in London.
Yeah. Or Paddy's. You know, Paddy's, mate. There's always a Paddy's.
Ah, it's got to be done, mate. It's got to be done. Yeah, I suppose there's probably not an Irish bar in you know, the middle of Wuhan. Or maybe there is. You know, maybe we should find that out, you know? Who knows? But, yeah, thanks for emailing in, Jake. Much appreciated. And projects in Malawi, maybe, Liam, maybe you could make that happen, mate. You know, you're pretty much second in command at B1M.
It'd be cool to cover more African projects. We've done a few of them.
I agree.
In the last few years. There is awesome. There is an Irish pub in Wuhan. It's called the Toucan Irish Pub. Just to FYI, mate.
You're joking. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Right. I'm Googling
great
this as well.
Find in Wuhan. Toucan Irish Bar is a cozy and friendly bar to enjoy Irish-style pub food with a pint of good old Guinness. There we go.
Is this for real? Is it in the Holiday Inn? I think it says it's in the Holiday Inn.
Irish
That's
pubs everywhere. They will be Malawi one day.
Yeah.
I bet my house that there'll be an Irish bar there.
Yeah, I love that. Brilliant. So yeah, that's this week's, mate. We got some more emails, but you know, we like to save them, spread them out, just in case we have a dry patch. You know, so
yes, one in there now. We're saving it till next week.
Just being honest. Just being honest. Yeah.
Well, mate. I mean, we did it. We did it. Old without Fred. Fred's over in Malaysia, probably uploading topless selfies to Instagram while we're here holding the fort down.
It looks hot. it looks humid in Malaysia at the moment.
In KL. I just hope Fred's trying the local cuisine, because we all know Fred just doesn't eat anything apart from pasta or meat and veg. And Malaysia has some of the best Asian food out there, like laksa, nasi lemak. Oh, mate.
Oh, really?
Food. Yeah, I messaged him and said, you better be eating the local food, and he didn't reply.
It did look good, though. He did an Instagram story from wherever he's standing. He could see the Medeka.
Mate, he's right next to it.
Like, I know.
We're doing a video in partnership with Kony on the world's second tallest skyscraper, the Medeka PMB in Kuala Lumpur. So the awesome guys at Kony, they work with us quite a bit. They're flowing Fred and to the team out for a week to basically cover this the second tallest skyscraper. And Fred's accommodation, if you don't follow Fred on Instagram, go and have a look at his story, or I'm sure he'll have a post of it soon. His balcony is just literally looks right onto the skyscraper. It is phenomenal. And the view he had, just looking, I think it was nighttime or it was morning, it was like 6 a.m. or something like that, just showing the scale of it as the sun's rising. It's just phenomenal. That's a very good looking skyscraper.
Yeah, I agree. And then now that it's completed and topped out, I think they're doing like the internal fit out at the moment, right? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's topped out. Yeah, topped out in August, I think.
It is a good looking tower, mate. And I like the shade of blue that they went for. You can't get away with that in all cities, right? Maybe at the risk of looking ego, your favorite word of mine, kitsch. Yeah, risk of looking kitsch. It's a cool looking building, mate. Yeah, I'm looking forward to chatting that. So hopefully we can talk to Fred next week about his journey. Hopefully he's not worn like super skinny jeans this time round, you know, like he did in Frankfurt. Yeah.
No doubt this time next year he'll still be complaining about how hot he was when he went to Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope so. Hope so.
That's it, mate. All done. Thanks for listening, guys. As always, if you let us know if you're working on any cool projects, if you've got any cool stories, you've got any interesting facts, you've got anything at all, shoot us an email at podcast@b1m.com. And thanks for listening.
Did you write down what Fred does? Because that was so
similar, mate. Yeah, I got to like 4 p.m. I was like, I need to write like some kind of script to sit to.
That was very good.